This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. In 2011, the vocalist and songwriter Somi packed up her bags and traveled from her home base here in New York to Lagos, Nigeria. Her experiences and observations from her 18-month stay there are reflected in her latest album, fittingly entitled The Lagos Music Salon. Somi and her band are here with me in the Soundcheck studio today, and they're going to start us off by playing Last Song. Here's Somi live on Soundcheck.
If this were my last song, would you listen closer? If this were my last song, would you lean in? If this were my last song, would you hum along? If this were my last song, would you try to remember everything? The shape of my neck, everything. The size of my breast, everything. Things you dislike, everything. My ego, my pride, everything. Sound of my scream, everything. The breath in between, everything. First song before everything. If this were my last song, I might just sing louder. If this were my last song, I would ask the band to slow it down. If this were my last song, would you sing harmonies? If this were my last song, I would try to tell you everything. The times that I lied, everything. The days that I cried, everything. Lovers I knew, everything. My hungry nights too, everything. Grandmother's grave, everything. Last time I prayed, everything. First song before everything.
That is Somi, the vocalist leading her band live here in the Soundcheck studio. and that's called Last Song. The Lagos Music Salon is the name of Somi's latest release. It is out now, and it brings Somi back to soundcheck. Although, as you reminded me before we went on mic, Somi, this is your first time in this studio,
yes.
Not your first time on the show.
No,
you
exactly.
were with us down in the green space.
That's right, that's
that
right.
Was 4 years ago. welcome back.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be back.
You just made every English teacher in the audience happy with your correct use of the subjunctive voice in that song. You know, this if this were my last song instead of if this was my last song. Was that written here or was that written in Nigeria?
That was written in Nigeria. All of the music from this record was written over there.
What made you decide to... your parents are from Rwanda and Uganda originally.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which
exactly.
is a very different part of Africa, you know, culturally, musically.
Absolutely.
What made you decide to go to Nigeria?
For a number of reasons, but mostly I had been there before. I'd gone over there with my band to perform at a jazz festival, and I had the chance to really see all of the parallels between New York City and Lagos, just in terms of the cultural energy, the creative industries. I mean, there are 20 million people there. Right now, Nigeria is the largest economy in sub-Saharan Africa. So it really had that same sort of push and pull and rhythm and reward that New York offers. So I was really curious about that and also just wanted to go somewhere that was... You know, it had enough Africanisms to make me feel at home, but enough foreignness to kind of keep my perspective and inspiration fresh.
Right. And English is a national language
it
in
is.
Nigeria,
yeah.
so you can get by with that.
Definitely.
Is there a Lagos Music Salon?
Physically, like a place?
A place, yeah.
Just an imagined space
okay.
in
All
our
right.
hearts. I actually started producing salons there. I started producing these performance salons while I was writing this material. I wanted the opportunity to share this music with the Lagosian audience. And so what I started doing was hosting these very intimate performances with local musicians and artists so that I would have the chance to sort of work through it. And so I would make them happen in, you know, art galleries or you know, just sort of non-traditional performance spaces. And so that's really what the inspiration for calling it the Lagos Music Salon. I wanted to feel like that same room of intimacy.
Now, the last time you were here, you were using the phrase New African Soul to describe kind of what you were doing. When you're actually in Africa, when you're in a place like Lagos, you
right.
know, what does that do to, you know, your kind of conception of your music is like, oh, well, that really, this is the real Africa, you know, does it change how you kind of think about what you do?
Well, I think, yes, it's hugely why I wanted to go and write and work on the continent as opposed to sort of having these sort of touch-and-go experiences there. I really wanted to kind of abandon the diasporic lens and have a chance to really immerse myself in the social and cultural nuance of the continent. But in terms of, you know, what we call African and what we don't, I think that that's a very kind of delicate and touchy subject, you know, because... I am an African woman. I was born here in Illinois, but I spent so much time on the continent. I lived part of my childhood there. I'm keenly and deeply connected to the continent. So I think that especially right now in the global digital age that we live in, there's so much. I mean, things are so porous. And so I don't know that there are as many purists on the continent as we might like to think.
Yeah.
But I definitely was influenced by the root of this music and the root of a lot of music in the world. African music has inspired so much. So definitely I was happy to be there to be influenced in that way.
Well, it certainly has been a root of a lot of Western Hemisphere music.
Absolutely.
You know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of which has sort of gone back across the Atlantic.
Right.
You know, Fela Kuti being a great example of
Absolutely.
Someone who, you know, adopted... American sounds that had roots right where
right,
he grew.
Exactly.
So now his place, his club, that's long gone, right?
Well, there is a shrine. The original shrine was burnt down.
Right.
But his sons, his family still have a place called the Shrine.
Okay.
And it's in Ikeja, and it's, and you know, the Femi and Sheun both perform there regularly when they're not on the road.
Mm-hmm. Femi and Sheun are the two sons who each lead their own bands.
Exactly. Sons of Fela.
Sons of Fela Kuti.
Mm-hmm.
So, If I go to Lagos, what is the one thing you would tell me I have to see or I have to do?
The one thing you have to... Well, you have to try the pepper. The spicy food. You have to do that. What do you have to see? You know, I would say it's great to go and see... Well, I can tell you what my favorite view is in Lagos is a place called Bar Beach. It's in Victoria Island. And there's just these like pastel parasols and these sort of really majestic but really rough... horses that are just sort of out there, like on the very fringe, the very edge of the city. So it's just such a beautiful sort of stark like irony to what you feel like the concrete jungle, and then you like get to the edge of it and there are like these horses and pastel parasols and people selling goods and taking horse rides. So that's to me the most sort of romantic image. I mean, it's, you know, I just love to tell people to look at that.
I have to say I'm surprised to hear that there are horses in Lagos, you know. All right. Well, I mean, former British colony, I guess they brought horses wherever they went, didn't they?
Perhaps.
So so you spent a fair amount of time there. You played a fair amount of music there. And it seems like in certain spots on the album, we actually get to hear some, for lack of a better word, field recordings.
Absolutely, yeah. So while I was there, I carried sort of a digital voice recorder in my pocket and just sort of, you know, initially, because I went there without a real agenda. It wasn't about going to Nigeria to write a record. It was just sort of about going to a new environment to see where the spirit took me and what my heart wanted. But I decided fundamentally and from the very beginning that I wanted to create some sort of archive. And so that was really what that sound recorder was about, and just recording conversations with people, conversations with immigration folks, conversations with, or like recording street sounds or the rain and just all sorts of different things. And so the sound diary now is so much, you know, there's a lot of audio, but I curated it down to small snippets that hopefully people can have a sense of place and the people.
Right. So we hear you talking to a customs official. We hear a little choir of kids at one point.
Yeah,
it's nice stuff.
Thank you.
Somi is my guest here in the Soundcheck studio. The album is called The Lagos Music Salon. Ginger Me Slowly. I said before, English is one of the national languages of Nigeria, but they have a very unusual take on English sometimes.
They do.
Things that we don't use as verbs, they use as verbs,
right,
for example. So what does ginger me slowly mean?
So there's an expression in Lagos, it's a bit of slang. It's to ginger someone means to spice them up, to make them feel good. And actually, when I researched it a little bit, the verb still lives in like the British lexicon. So the Brits, some, like, it's very old school, kind of old way of speaking, you know, but they do say, oh, gingerly, or ginger him, or ginger me, or, you know, so I think it's sort of left behind.
Okay.
But it's a part of their, like, slang now. So this is called Ginger Me Slowly.
All right, we'll hear a live performance here in the studio from Somi and her band. Let me introduce you to the members of the band. Liberty Elman playing guitar, Toru Dodo at our piano, Michael Olatuja playing the bass, and Otis Brown III behind our drum kit. The album's called The Lagos Music Salon. Somi and this band playing an album release show tonight in New York at The Cutting Room. They're playing for us today here in the Soundcheck studio.
Ginger me by candlelight and long walks by the lagoon. Ginger me with intellect and wine. Ginger me, boy, with kindness and cool. Yes, so. Ginger me slowly. Yes, so. Ginger me slowly. Ginger me with poetry and roses in the afternoon. Ginger me with trips to Monaco and to the Nile. Ginger me with power and humility. Oh, ginger me, boy. Ginger me with Yola. Ginger me slowly, yes, oh. Ginger me slowly. Take your time, hold me closer. Show me your heart and I'll show you mine. Slow it down. Hold me longer, I'll be your girl if we do it slowly. Ginger me with unexpected. gonna dance. Ginger me with breakfast in bed for just us two. Ginger me with dreams of love and faithfulness. Ginger me, boy, with your heart.
Once again, live music from the vocalist and composer Somi and her band, live in the Soundcheck studio. Ginger Me Slowly, another of the songs written during Somi's year-and-a-half sojourn in Lagos, Nigeria. The results of that time are on her most recent album called The Lagos Music Salon. Love songs and songs... That one's almost like a come-hither kind of thing.
That's a love song, yeah.
But then, you know, there are songs that, you know, Nigeria's a troubled place. And
yes.
there are songs that kind of take a clear-eyed look at that.
Absolutely. A lot of people have been talking to me about sort of heavier social issues. You know, I think I just really like to always show both sides of it, you mm-hmm. know. So deal with... You know, sometimes there's a song on there called $2 Day, which sort of I wrote it during the protests Occupy Nigeria that happened when the government removed the fuel subsidy from the people, essentially, from the cost of gas.
So suddenly making gasoline hugely expensive
right.
to people who had had access to it previously.
Right, which was difficult for people to understand because it's an oil-rich nation, you know, and if they don't have... you know, all the other things that a place and a society should have in terms of infrastructure, then at the very least they should have cheap gas. So that song is about, you know, a woman that I had a chance to meet who was devastated by it, a domestic worker there who makes an average of about $2 a day, which is pretty much the average of the majority of Nigerians. The song that I'll perform in the end is called Brown Round Things, and it's about... really about the loss of innocence more than anything else. I mean, I'm talking about sex workers, prostitutes, mm-hmm. but I'm really talking about a loss of innocence and sort of remembering the humanity of African girls and women. Yeah, a wide range of topics.
And the song When Rivers Cry, mm-hmm. you know, is an environmentally
right.
themed song and features Common,
yes.
you know, I mean, who we know as a quote-unquote conscious rapper.
Right,
so
exactly.
It's not just rap music that can be conscious, socially conscious.
Absolutely. I mean, and I think when a lot of people ask me why I chose Common, being an American and not an African artist, you know, I think that the green conversation, the environmental issues are a global conversation,
yeah.
right? So I really wanted to bring a certain global resonance and into the mix. And so Common, being as socially conscious as he always has been, was generous enough to lend a verse to
mm-hmm.
that song.
So do you see yourself as an activist as well as a musician?
I don't know. You know, I think that I just try, in terms of the songs that I write, I just try to be honest with my heart and I try to be honest with what's happening around me and the things that I'm witnessing and in my own life and in the lives around me. I don't necessarily look at myself as an activist, I guess. But a lot of people often... you know, tell me I deal with a lot of women's issues. This mm-hmm. is very true. but I think I'm just writing from a female perspective more than anything.
Right. Well, and there's another song on the record that's kind of standing on the shoulders of Nina Simone's Four Women, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, Nina is a huge source of inspiration for me, and she was somebody between her and Fela. I don't know whom I listen to more while in Lagos because their music seemed to be the perfect soundtrack for the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just really wanted to pay homage to Nina on on this record in terms of how much she inspired me to tell the truth while I was there. And so her song For Women, which, as you may know, the classic is really about sort of the stereotypical quintessential, you know, black experience of the experience of black women in the U.S., right? So I was really interested in just telling stories about the strengths and burdens and struggles and beauty and resilience of the African woman. So I was I wrote a song called For African Women, and they were, her estate was gracious enough to let me put it out.
Nice. The album's called The Lagos Music Salon, the latest from Somi. She and the band are playing an album release show tonight at the Cutting Room here in Manhattan. Somi, it has been a while since you were last here. Great to see you again with a terrific new album. You want to play us out with that song you were talking about?
Absolutely. We're going to do Brown Round Things. On the record, it features Ambrose Akinwunsire, but again,
the trumpeter.
Yes. Yeah.
I think this group will suffice.
We'll work it out. Yes, they always do. Thank you so much.
Somi and her band performing live on Soundcheck. The song is called Brown Round Things.
They say she's sweet. She walks the streets at night. They call her names. She offers her bosom and flame. Sorureyo, 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 soru. They come round often, yet nothing softens, no one smiles. She calls your name. Shiny tops and open toes. shake what your mama gave you. Twilight heat and pantyhose. Pray that your God will save you. Shiny tops and loving toys. Shake what your mama gave you. Twilight heat and pantyhose. Pray that your God will save you. Brown roses stay. Brown things for
That is a beautiful live performance here in the studio from Somi and her band, the song called Brown Round Things. It appears on her most recent album called The Lagos Music Salon. It's out now. By the way, we shot video of today's session. Find it at soundcheck.org. And if you subscribe to WNYC's YouTube channel, we'll update you every time we post new videos. That does it for this installment of the Soundcheck podcast. Thanks for listening.